We serve a holy and righteous God, and He's worthy of our worship and our praise. I'm so thankful that you are able to worship with us, and I hope and pray that God has spoken to you already through the songs. As our children are being dismissed to children's church, I would invite you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as you're turning there, this is our third sermon in our Reach series. We've talked about reach up, reach out, and this morning we'll speak about reach in. I know what some of you are thinking, finally. We're finally getting to something about us, right? Reach up to God, reach out to people. Now we finally get to reach in and something for me. I think a lot of times while we would laugh at that notion of thinking that church is all about us, often that is the attitude of many people. I think about the man who every Sunday morning after church got in the car with his young son and began griping about everything that went wrong in the service. Can you believe the pastor was 3 minutes longer than what he should be? Can you believe the music was too loud or too fast? Can you believe they didn't choose my songs? And the temperature in there, can you believe they keep it at that temperature? I had to know whether I needed to put more layers on, and then I got so hot I had to almost strip down to a t-shirt. It was so up and down in there. And I can't believe that so-and-so did such-and-such. Did you see who they let be an usher this morning? And he would go on and on and on. And finally, the little boy stopped him and said, "Dad, I thought it was a pretty good show for that dollar you put in the offering plate, you know." You know, church is not about us. Church is not about what we get out of it. And when we talk about reach in this morning, there is a benefit for you as a believer to come to church. And there is a very real sense that we need to be reaching each other within the church. There's an important aspect to us building one another up. But there's a reason why reach in is third in this sermon series and not first. Because the very most important thing we can do when we gather together in a church is to reach up in worship to God. That's number one, and that is what we talked about, what we were created for. We are created to worship. And there is nothing more important than reaching up in worship to our God. Last week we talked about one of the greatest ways we can worship God, and that is through reaching out. God is worshiped and receives the most glory when people come to Christ. We ought to be sharing the gospel with others as part of our worship. Reach out is extremely essential to the health of a church. And thirdly, maybe least of these three important, but vital nonetheless, we must reach in and examine our own hearts and our own lives and decide that we can fellowship and encourage one another. This morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 17. Some very familiar words, and if you'll read along with me, we'll read these 8 verses together. "But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured! Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you. And you know that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This morning, this may not have been the passage you were expecting for a reach in sermon. This passage actually is not at all about ourselves, is it? This passage is not about what we can get out of a church service. Because when we reach in, it's not about us. It's about each other. This morning, I want to talk about ways that we reach in, ways that we equip and encourage one another, and ways that we can ourselves grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. Three ways we can reach in this morning. Three reasons why we reach in and build each other up, and ways that we can reach each other. Number one, we reach in to be supported. We reach in to be supported. Accountability is one of the greatest benefits of being part of a church. It's a way that we can interact with one another, a way that we can bear burdens with one another, ways that we can celebrate with one another. Paul writes this. He writes this in verses 10 and 11 when he says, "You have followed my teaching, my conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all." You see, the people that Paul was talking about as he's sharing his sufferings and he's writing to Timothy, but then to the other churches who will read, he's saying, "You were with me in my teaching, in my positive affirmations, in my patience and love, and you were also there, if not physically, in spirit and in mind, in my persecutions and my sufferings. You see, I know that you supported me. I know you were there for me in the good times and in the bad." And that is what a church family is. Just in my short time as pastoring here, it's been a month and a half. I'm a little surprised we've not had a party for my month and a half anniversary, but that's okay. For the month and a half I have been here, already I have shared some wonderful times with you. We've celebrated birthdays together, several birthdays already. We've celebrated praises and answers to prayer. We've had events together where we've got to build fellowship with one another. We've had great conversations around the table Wednesday nights at dinner. We've had some wonderful times, and we've also had some difficult times. We've had some of you who have come in and shared with me a loss in your family. Others of you who have shared a burden that's on your heart and in your life. Maybe a past sin that some of you have shared with me. And we've gone through some of this together. And can I tell you this morning, that as a pastor is what I want to be here for. To be here to support you in the wonderful times and in the poor times, the difficult times as well. But if I am the only one who you get support from in this church, we are not a church. We have a wonderful church family that I know you have the opportunity to grab a friend and pull them aside and say, "I need you to pray for me. I need help in this matter." Others of you that can come and give someone a great big hug and say, "I want to rejoice with you over this that happened in my life." Because a church family reaches in and supports one another. This is a support that is not judgmental. This is a support that is one that loves unconditionally. If we can be a church who loves unconditionally, then the support will come natural. Oftentimes, people feel as if they go and share something with a church member or a pastor that they will be looked down on. I can't tell that to my Sunday school class. I can't share that with my church family. How will they view me if they knew this about me or if they knew my struggle? You see, Paul had a wonderful support. They were with him in his love and his patience and his joyous times, but they stuck by him in his persecutions as well. There were many, I'm sure, who would hurl insults at Paul. He's getting what he deserved. Several weeks ago, we talked about Paul being doubted as an apostle. On Wednesday night, we shared one night that several people did not consider Paul to be an apostle, and they abandoned his teaching. But these family members, the friends, those who loved him, supported him. And when he was persecuted and being tried, they loved him and did not cast judgment. We must be a church family that reaches in and is there for each other in times of joy and in times of sorrow. Because if we are to build a church, we must reach in and support one another. It's wonderful to be a part of a church that supports you. But this morning, my question is, are you a part of a church, a member of a church who supports others, who is willing to be that shoulder to cry on, is willing to give the joyous hug, is willing to celebrate and to weep? Are you the church member or the Christian who is willing to support others and reach in? Paul says we not only had support with one another, but there is another important aspect to reaching in. And one of the bonds that Paul had with Timothy and others who would read this letter is that he was able to teach them. And when we are reaching in, part of our inreach is that we learn the truth. We reach in so that we know what the truth is. And Paul shares this. As a matter of fact, down in verses 14 and 15, he says, "As for you, continue what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Notice he says, continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you firmly believed. Cling to the truth. This morning, we reach in so that we can know what the truth is. That is what our inreach is on Sunday mornings. If you're involved in a Sunday school class, you are a part of a group that is reaching in to each other, teaching truth and outlining what truth is. Every once in a while, I'll get on a soapbox about Sunday school. If you are able to come at 9:30, I almost said 9 o'clock. You can come at 9 o'clock too. Be early. If you're able to come at 9:30, you will receive a blessing that will help you grow in your relationship with God. Because the truth will be taught and you will learn. Our inreach requires discipleship, requires us knowing God's Word. It requires us growing in our personal faith. We have a lot of inreach opportunities at this church. Most churches have several inreach opportunities, but most church members don't always take advantage of them. We have a time of reaching up in worship on Sunday mornings, but I hope there's an aspect of reaching in and hearing the truth of God's Word as well through the preaching. On Sunday mornings at Sunday school, I've already mentioned a Bible study opportunity. Wednesday nights, we have a wonderful time sharing and encouraging with one another, having a meal together, and then learning the truth of God's Word. As a matter of fact, we're putting God's Word in our heart currently on Wednesday nights. Let me encourage you to come and be a part of our Wednesday night services where we are able to memorize Scripture with one another. How many of you have started working on Joshua 1:9 this week? How many of you have forgotten until the pastor currently... All right, there's your accountability that we talked about just a minute ago. Jordan's been working on it. I know he has. We're memorizing Scripture together and going to be studying the Word of God so that we can know the truth. You know the problem with America. We hear all of these sermons about the depravity of our American culture, and I am convinced that the problem is not necessarily that we are more depraved, but that we fail to stand on the truth. We have a stronger showing in this country than what we have shown. We have the ability to stand up for right and wrong, but the majority of Americans do not know the truth of God's Word. We have a responsibility to learn it ourselves. What's written in 2 Chronicles when it speaks of revival, when it talks about revival coming into the land, God says to the people, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land." You realize who that message is to. It's not to the lost and the depraved of the people of Israel. Instead, God says, if my people, those who know the truth, those who are learning the truth, those who are standing on the truth, if they will get their lives right, revival will come. We must reach in and know what God's Word says. We must learn the truth. We must know the truth, and we must then live the truth. This morning, that is the biggest application of our reach in. And that is, we reach in to be changed. We reach in to be changed. Knowing the truth is vital. Knowing the truth is important. But doing nothing with that truth helps nobody. We must allow ourselves to be changed by the Word of God. One of the most famous passages about the Bible itself is what we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete. The man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We noticed this morning that the Word of God is more than just a head knowledge. We noticed that the Word of God changes us. And there are four things that the Word of God does. We see that all Scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God, and is profitable for these four things: for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training. These are four fancy church words that if we've ever memorized this passage of Scripture, we've probably just put in our word bank that the Word of God is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. What does that mean? What is the Word of God really profitable for? This, in a nutshell, is teaching us that the Word of God changes us. The first thing it does, we talked about a minute ago, it's profitable for teaching. The Word of God tells you the truth. It gives you right from wrong. And when we think of the Word of God as being a teacher, it lays out the truth for us. Now we know right from wrong. But if that's all the Word of God did, it would fall short. Instead, it's also profitable for rebuking. We don't like this word. Because if the Word of God teaches us right from wrong, it rebukes us and shows us where we've got it wrong. It hits our heart. It pierces us and says, this is right, this is wrong, and you need to be living this way. It rebukes us and it cuts us. It steps on our toes. I had a deacon one time tell me as he was teaching, or tell us as he was teaching, he said, if I've stepped on your toes this morning, I'm sorry. I was aiming for your heart. I always liked that. The Word of God pierces our hearts. It teaches us right from wrong, and it rebukes us, showing us where we're wrong. But thankfully, it doesn't leave us in this pitiful, sinful state of knowing what we've done wrong. Instead, the Word of God is profitable also for correcting. You've got it wrong, but let me show you how you can get it right. There's change that's required when we read the Word of God. Here's the truth. You know right from wrong. Here's the rebuke, you're doing it wrong, and here's the correction, you can get it right. And then even more glorious, as if that wasn't enough, the Word of God then trains us so that we can go out and share that truth with others. We can now proclaim what is right and what is truth. If we simply allow the Word of God just to be head knowledge, we fall short. The Word of God must change us. Notice this morning a very key word in 2 Timothy 3:16. How much of Scripture is inspired by God? How much? All Scripture. That means every word is inspired and every word that is useful to teach us right from wrong. It's useful to correct us and rebuke us and to train us. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking a little bit about some difficult passages to read in the Old Testament. And I will 100% agree with the sentiment of the class. There are some parts of Leviticus that just don't keep me awake. Amen? There are some parts of the Bible that are very difficult to get through. And I think we've all been there. We're going to do it. We're going to make it through the Old Testament. And we're going to read some of these difficult books like Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus. And we're going to labor through them. And we forget that those things we're laboring through are not just words on a piece of paper to get through, but that they are scripture that is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. That those words were written to point us ultimately to the message of the New Testament, and that is that Jesus Christ breaks us free from that law, that we now can have a relationship with God. And so every word of Scripture is meant to change our hearts. It's meant to change us from the inside out. Our reach in this morning, as we think of reaching in, we reach in with our church to fellowship with one another, but we reach in by discipleship and growing in the Word of God, knowing what it says, and understanding that every word that God speaks to us not only teaches us, but it changes us. This morning, reach in is vitally important for the health of our church. It is essential that we are growing in our faith, encouraging one another, and furthering God's kingdom through changing our own hearts and our own lives. This morning, maybe you've approached church to be a different type of in-reach. Maybe you've approached church to make it all about you. Maybe you've come Sunday morning, week in and week out, and gauged whether the service was a success or not based on the temperature or the comfort of the pews or the length of the sermon or the volume of the music. Maybe you've come week in and week out and you've nitpicked things that you're not happy with. And maybe God's convicting you this morning that the in-reach we should be doing is to encourage and build one another up. It's to grow in our faith and mature in our knowledge of God's Word and to let it change us so that we can go out and proclaim the truth. This morning, if you're sitting here asking yourselves what kind of in-reach you've had, I hope and pray that you will say, I am reaching in to grow my faith, to grow the faith of others, and to build this church up. As we come to a time of invitation, I would ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And pray with me as we say, Lord, we pray forgiveness, knowing that we often think of ourselves before we think of others. And Lord, this morning we realize that reaching up in worship is the most important thing we can do. That reaching out to lead others to Christ brings you the most glory and honor. But we know we fail in our relationship with you if we do not reach in and disciple each other. Lord, I pray that we would encourage one another, that we would be a shoulder to cry on, a warm hug or a handshake in a difficult time. Lord, I pray we would rejoice with each other. I pray that we would weep with each other. And Lord, I pray that we would disciple one another and Lord, learn the truth of your word and then let it change our hearts so that we can live out that word. Lord, this morning, if there's one in here who has never been changed, never understood what this in-reach is, never had that connection to a church family, and even more importantly, to you as a personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would reach out to them this morning and show them that you love them unconditionally, that you want to help them grow, that you want your word to change them and help them to see their need for a relationship with you. Lord, we pray this morning that you would burden all of our hearts to encourage one another, to disciple one another, and to love one another. It's in your name we pray. Amen.